Okay, so just a very quick background about Missouri Foundation for Health, assuming most of you have not heard of it, is an independent philanthropic foundation dedicated to improving the health in the people of our service region, promoting community health, and increasing access to care for the uninsured and underserved. So I won't spend a lot of time on these stats. I know that most of you all are aware of many of them, but I will point out that obesity rates in Missouri are at 30% for the adult population and 28% for children ages 10 to 17, which is one reason why our foundation found this to be a very critical issue to address. We know that, you know, this information, we aren't the keepers of the obesity problem as public health professionals. Most Americans do realize and see it as a serious public health problem that needs to be dealt with. And one thing that was really important for us to address as we were engaging schools is how obesity has an effect on learning. We know that if basic health needs are not met, children will struggle to learn regardless of the effectiveness of the instructional material, and that children respond faster and with greater accuracy to a variety of cognitive tasks after participating in a session of physical activity. And we know that optimal nutrition not only protects against obesity, but it's also essential for maximizing cognitive function and academic performance. So, the Healthy Schools, Healthy Communities program was designed, obviously, to address some of these issues, and I want to talk to you about the structure of this program. In 2013, the Missouri Foundation for Health completed a rigorous strategic planning process targeting four core health areas. Childhood obesity was one that rose right up to the top. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Healthy Schools, Healthy Communities program. It was designed to improve school, food, and beverage environments and physical activity environments of targeted school districts and their surrounding communities. Schools were targeted based on a 60% or greater free or reduced lunch rate, being located in a county in Missouri where the obesity rate was greater than the midpoint, and also schools that had some momentum in this area of healthy eating, active living previously to our approaching them about it, this program. Schools as the Hub is our first program, and again, we support high-need school districts in creating healthier school environments, specifically for children in grades K through 8. This effort is driven by a district wellness coordinator, which is a position funded by the foundation, because when we first began talking to school districts about taking something like this on, we heard loud and clear that they are already inundated with a multitude of other responsibilities, and if there wasn't someone there dedicated to driving this process along, that it probably wouldn't happen. So we took note and provided funding for that. These district wellness coordinators are responsible for developing school wellness committees at each participating K-8 school buildings, and these committees are very diverse and inclusive of parents, students, PE teachers, food staff, food service staff, and other administrators to ensure that a variety of voices of concern as well as ideas are heard. An assessment is conducted at each participating school building to determine the gaps around healthy eating and active living that they want to address. And this assessment is really grounded in the evidence-based practices of Alliance for a Healthier Generation. Many of you all know about them, and I'll talk more about them on the next slides. But once their assessments are complete, they complete an action plan based on where the gaps are around healthy eating and active living in their particular school building. And they are provided funding to address those prioritized things that they want to address in their schools. These changes can include a variety of things, such as a new salad bar, upgrades to playgrounds, new equipment for PE, or curriculum, new curriculum for PE, but more than just the physical improvements are being addressed. A lot of policy issues are being taken on by our district wellness coordinators, such as vending machine changes to healthier foods in the vending machines, healthier birthday food requirements, and increased PE minutes, because many of them are falling behind in that area. Those are just a few of the things that they're taking on. But we know that the schools cannot do this alone, and that's where the healthy communities component comes in. This concentrates on improving out-of-school time environments for children and their families. Through this effort, the lead community organizations that have a proven track record for addressing health-related issues in the targeted communities take this on. Some of them are local health departments, hospitals, the Y's, caring community councils, you name it. But again, they are being driven by a community wellness coordinator who works to build a diverse, healthy communities collaboration with multiple sectors of their communities being represented. And really, in many cases, these collaborations or coalitions already existed prior to us bringing this idea for this project to them. So, but again, this community wellness coordinator is critical to having that special person who's 100% dedicated to moving this forward. These collaborations also receive specialized technical assistance, and there are two TA providers are organizations that are native to Missouri and well known for their efforts to improving active living in the region, and their names are PetNet and TrailNet. The healthy communities process is much like those of the schools. They conduct a community assessment utilizing the WISE Community Healthy Living Index. And again, they develop action plans along with a budget that addresses barriers to healthy eating and active living for the children in those targeted communities. School districts and healthy communities collaborations work closely together, participating in one another's collaborations to ensure that their efforts are complementary. I won't spend too much time on the state-wide efforts and focus and collaboration, but just state that it seeks opportunities to collaborate with other funders, nonprofits, and other government entities across Missouri to promote healthy choices for children and their families, and really just trying to merge those bottom-up and top-down approaches. We have a very bold goal for this program, a 5% decline in aggregated BMI measures for children in grades K through 8. And that goal is so bold precisely because of all the issues you have, all the data you have heard about obesity today and previously. This is a graphic we use generally to show how we're going to go about achieving that goal. Because you might ask, how in the world can you do that? Many of our district wellness coordinators are passionate about this issue, but new to this type of work. So that's where we brought in the Alliance for a Healthier Generation, which is, again, an organization well known for its work improving school health across the nation. We worked closely with the Alliance to develop a process that would be multiple high-touch opportunities for our participating schools to learn from these amazing experts and develop long-lasting skills as they take on such an ambitious endeavor. Likewise, as I mentioned briefly earlier, we've partnered with PetNet and TrailNet, two incredible organizations based in Missouri. Both have been trailblazers for building community capacity around healthy eating and active living, and particularly increasing bicycle use and development of the walking school bus. They, too, are providing high-touch technical assistance to each participating healthy communities collaborations, conducting in-person meetings and webinars, conference calls, whatever it takes to provide them with the skills that they need to move this forward. And another thing that's key under the Healthy Communities program is the engagement of our early child care centers. And for that, we have partnered with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services to implement their Eat Smart and Move Smart program, focused on improving healthy eating and physical activity in early child care centers in our targeted communities. So our newest partner for this effort is GMMB Strategic Communications Firm, and they're based in Washington, D.C., because we want to effectively and efficiently spread the word about this program, and we provide our grantees with the resources they need to confidently communicate about the great work that they're doing. And of course, no initiative is complete without evaluation, and I won't go into detail because you'll hear from our evaluators shortly. So, our driving this effort, again, are the community wellness coordinators and the district wellness coordinators. A year and a half into this initiative, the true heroes are them. And they are the ones who have dove headfirst into this effort. The director is here, Amy Stringer Hessel, and me as the program officer. We hear from our district wellness coordinators all the time. And they love to show us, tell us about where they are in their action plans and all the activities that they're doing. So I just wanted to share some of these pictures with you all, representing some of the events that they have taken part in. The one is a walk to school day, an actual walking school bus. That playground right there used to be totally covered in dirt, and it's been renovated. And then, of course, opportunities for kids to try and clearly really enjoy some healthier food options. So, again, they're real go-getters, and we are truly fortunate to have found so many talented individuals to be so passionate about improving health in their communities. So I want to show you a map of our participating communities. Cohort 1 is represented in black, and those are the first-year school districts that we engaged in 2013. Cohort 2 is in blue and represents the most recently engaged communities that we engaged in 2014. And the purple represents the lead partner collaborative organizations. You'll notice that Cohort 2 districts are very close to Cohort 1, and that was very much by design. Okay. What they're doing over there. that was very much by design to keep them close in proximity. While we wish there were infinite funds to spread all over the state, our theory was that we would really rather increase the dose of the program and really create a movement in those areas. And by doing so, we were also able to keep the same lead healthy communities or collaborations. These districts range from 100 to 3,000 in size. And one thing that you probably can't tell from looking at this map is just how rural some of these districts are. They have many challenges, many of which are quite unique to rural communities. And when we decided to do this, we didn't just pick up the phone and call them. We got in our car and we drove to each and every district that you see on the map. And so one of them was actually so remote that it did not have an address, and we actually had to shoo these wild birds out of the way as we approached the school. But when we got to the schools, we met directly with the superintendents because we wanted to make sure that we had buy-in from the top and support to move this forward. One of the other things that we heard many times from these rural districts is that, you know, because they are so rural, they often feel like they're forgotten about and that, you know, no one's ever thinking about them. They really expressed that they were immensely grateful that we considered them for engagement in this program. I won't go into detail here, but these are all of our participating communities, and you'll just notice the range of 30 to 37% adult obesity rates in those counties. Again, another reason why they were targeted and why we have such a bold goal. I just thought this would be a great representation to show you all, you know, how far we've come from May 2013 when our board of directors first approved this program to hitting the road and engaging all of these school districts and getting their buy-in and support, and then putting together this amazing web of technical assistance providers to help push this along to where we are now with our 12 community collaborations, 25 school districts, 57 participating buildings, and over 22,000 kids being reached through this effort. As I mentioned before, we hear from our district wellness coordinators all the time, and many of them are really making some healthy noise in their communities and getting noticed by the local media. The director and I have been out and about and joining these various events and spreading the word whenever we can. But while we enjoy these types of events, we're really glad there's someone else who is monitoring the numbers. So I'm going to turn it over to her now.
Good.
Hi, good afternoon. Can everyone hear me okay? I have one of those two-year-olds that shares nothing but colds, so glad that they calmed down over there. So my name is Tammy Calise, and I work for a public health research and consulting firm called John Snow, Inc., and we are just thrilled to be a partner with the Missouri Foundation for Health and the wonderful team of experts that they've brought on board to address this really important issue of childhood obesity. Just to give you a little bit of information, as Deidre said, you know, this is a very complex initiative that's evolving. One of the great things is that these school districts and communities do get to do assessments, and they get to build on their action plans based on their strengths and and gaps in each community, which will hopefully ultimately lead to better success. However, that does make an evaluator's work a little bit more challenging, and at times feels like we're putting together a jigsaw puzzle. That being said, we did garner stakeholder involvement from the grantees through an advisory council. So as Deidre mentioned, the school wellness coordinators and community wellness coordinators, several of them came together, and they serve as our SHAC, call it School Health Advisory Council. And we run our evaluation methods by them. We ask, you know, are you willing, what's the feasibility, practicality of collecting height and weight information for K through 8th grade each year? And they said, absolutely, that's probably not going to happen, but we'll make a deal with you. We'll do 1st, 3rd, 5th, and 7th grade. And we said, great. And they said, but you know what, instead of doing it once a year, we'll do it twice a year. And we said, perfect. So it is kind of a back and forth, and we try to balance in our evaluation with wish list with the feasibility and practicality of collecting information, knowing that the school folks as well as the community folks are busy implementing their action plans. We also work to build capacity at the local level, so we spend a lot of time on the phone with the coordinators, helping them to better understand how to enter information into a monitoring system that I'll talk to you a little bit more about, making sure they understand the importance of using standard tools, equipment for height and weight measurements, and really understanding the value of high-quality data. We, you know, work hard to make sure that they have access to their information so that they can use it for quality improvement, to garner support from additional stakeholders, and to write additional grants if they're interested. We also are really trying to understand the collective impact of these 25 school districts in 12 communities. So our evaluation is guided by the REAIM framework, which really is looking to better understand not only what works, but for whom and under what circumstances. So we're looking at things like the reach and the effectiveness of impact on awareness, perceptions, behaviors, as well as obesity, misconduct, attendance, and academic performance, knowing that as a public health practitioner, we're very interested in health, but superintendents and others may be more interested in academic performance and attendance. So we're, again, looking at those indicators. We're also looking at the adoption of across organizations to better understand the systems change, what stakeholders and organizations are really coming on board and playing an active role, what are they implementing, what does that look like, how much does it cost, and what is the long-term sustainability. So as you can see, we have a mixed methods approach, using a monitoring system, interviews, student household surveys, height and weight measurements, misconduct, attendance, and on down the line. So we're busy collecting information, but it couldn't be done without the school and community wellness coordinators, and again, really working with them to build capacity to make sure that they value the data and that they're sending us high-quality data. So one of the things that I think is really unique about the evaluation is this monitoring system. So it's an online platform that we developed for the 25 school districts and 12 community partners to document their tailored implementation activities, but using specific categories such as the stakeholders involved, the tools, resources that they're using, resources that they've leveraged both from kind of a financial standpoint but as well as a volunteer in-kind personnel time standpoint, looking at the reach through events and programs, media awareness activities, successes, challenges, and ultimately the policy and environmental changes that will kind of make these efforts more sustainable. One of the reasons that I feel like this has been successful in getting the grantees to submit information on a very regular basis is, one, we conduct we assess this monthly, and we follow up with them if they're not. entering information. We check for quality control. We also conduct interviews twice a year, 6 months and at the year mark. But the main reason, I think, is because we worked with the Missouri Foundation for Health to make this monitoring system for the evaluation also a reporting system. So if the grantees go in and they enter information on a regular basis, when they have to submit their reports to the foundation to receive their additional funds, it's very easy for them. And so they do value the entering of this information. And again, this is really helping us to better understand what each of them are doing, who's doing it, and so on. So here's what the monitoring system looks like. Each school district and community partner has their own, and they can go to the left bottom corner to enter their information, or they can go to do data reports. So again, they can select the time period and find out how many resources have been leveraged in a certain period, or what stakeholders, how many meetings they've had. We also do notices, notes for them. You have an upcoming report due to the foundation, or when you're entering this, be sure to check that you're doing certain things. So as Deidre mentioned, the schools have an assessment with the Alliance for Healthier Generation, and we worked with them to create individualized monitoring tool that's based on their action plans, again, all based from the framework from the Alliance. And so each school district will enter in their activities on each school. So each school could have a different activity or action plan from, the middle elementary school could have a different action plan than the middle school. So it's very school specific, even within a district, and goal specific. So if they have they're entering that they had a meeting on regarding the Brown Elementary School on their vending machine, then they would enter the information on the top, and then the information about the meeting, et cetera, is kind of entered at the bottom. So we're able to track kind of in a linear fashion the progress from action plan item to outcome. So here's some of the fund data that we were been able to collect in the first year. So 22,724 adults and children are reached through 85 events, and those are defined as one-day events. 14,750 adults and children are reached through 62 programs, which are ongoing several weeks. 88 media awareness activities were conducted, an estimated 391,000 impressions or individuals were reached through the media and awareness activities. There were over $2 million in funding leveraged beyond the funding that the Missouri Foundation for Health gave to the grantees, and over 1,600 in-kind volunteer hours. So what that means is, for example, a community coordinator worked with the town planner, and they applied for a grant to the Department of Natural Resources to get funding to improve the sidewalks. And so that money isn't coming from the foundation, but it certainly is helping to address the goal, and so we're capturing that information. A lot of parents and hospital staff give in-kind time on health fairs and things, and so again, we're asking the coordinators to help us to monitor the in-kind hours as well. Through the Alliance and TrailNet and PedNet, there are over 1,000 hours of training and technical assistance that were provided to the schools and communities. And towards the end of the first year, very happy to report that there are 26 policy and environmental changes that have been made in these school districts and communities. For example, some schools had changed policy to have recess before lunch. They've installed salad bars in elementary, middle schools, and the local grocery stores where they are lacking. They were able to adopt policies in some schools to provide daily breakfast to all children. They passed a bond in one community to revamp the community playground, and they increased the number of days children are offered physical education. And this is just a short list of, again, the 26 policy and environmental changes. Again, all information that's entered into the monitoring system and followed up through the interviews. So just to go through a couple of the other select methods, we do a student survey to better understand student perceptions and behaviors, and the survey is conducted with the 5th or 8th grade students. And we did this at two points in time for this first year, in the winter of 2013 and the spring of 2014, with roughly 4,000 students. Again, we're assessing the student perceptions of their food and activity environments and their physical activity behaviors and food consumptions. And just 2 points that I'll mention is, again, this is baseline data. We didn't see any change between the two time periods because the first year is a lot of planning. The 44% believe that school lunch was healthy, so there's a little bit of work to do. And I will say that 68% reported drinking at least one or more sugar-sweetened beverages per day. So, we're collecting this information from an evaluation standpoint to better understand the impact, but we're also feeding this information back to the coordinators so that they can, use this to inform their action plans in the years to come. Weight status. The foundation did select the right communities when they were targeting communities that have a high overweight and obese population. Roughly 40% of all the students in these communities were defined as overweight or obese at baseline, and that stayed consistent with our second follow-up in the spring of 2014. One other interesting thing that we've done, again, looking at misconduct, so we received over 14,000 misconduct episodes from the 25 school districts, and our evaluation team sat down and went through them one by one and created categories for tracking this over time, and we have 6 categories. Those that are related to alcohol, drugs, tobacco, gambling. Those that are really individual related, so the consequences are really confined to the offender, chewing gum, being late, tardy, those kinds of things. And then defiance, disrespect, disruptive, which is really looking at consequences that impacted others, but not as kind of harsh as bullying or violent acts. Then we also have the vandalism and stealing. And then there were just some that we just could not categorize because we didn't have enough information. But again, we're going to be looking at this information both as it happens in the school, in and around, and also on the bus. Hopefully with increased walking to school programs in some of the schools, we'll hopefully see a decline in misconduct on the bus, for example. Just to finish up, I could talk all day about the evaluation, but we also did a random household survey in the target 12 communities with a random household of 2,000 between August and October of this year. And the household survey is really to better understand the community views on childhood obesity policies and overall awareness to guide the communication efforts from the GMMB communications partner, as well as to establish a baseline. Again, we're trying to not only look at behaviors, but also perceptions, and hopefully we'll see a change in the communities. So we had a 35% response rate, and the demographics of the responders were very similar to those of the census. 50% reported household incomes of less than $40,000, 28% had one or more children, 17% were Black, and 76.5% had an education level lower than college education, and 70% were defined as overweight or obese. One note that I will mention is that, I think that there is kind of a misunderstanding of the obesity issue that, people are thinking that it's an individual's responsibility, and we did see that in our survey results. So 85.5% do feel that childhood obesity is either that of the parent, or 72% said that of the individual child. Less felt that the schools or food industry were largely responsible. However, when we asked about who should deal with it, roughly 62% said that it should be a community effort that included both individuals and community stakeholders, so that's very positive. When you looked at some of the favored policies, 86% thought that providing information to people to make healthier choices, again, kind of getting back at more of that individual piece, but there were some favored policies such as requiring more physical activity in schools. And so, again, this data is being used by the communication partners to get the point across that this is a societal effort, and that improving policies and systems will support the individual behavior. Finally, I'll just say that when we looked at awareness, 33% of the respondents said that they had heard of childhood obesity efforts this past year. There were 56% that were aware of farmers markets, and that's separate from the 33%. So when we looked at the 33% that were aware of childhood obesity efforts and looked at those that were aware of specific activities like a farmer's market, 62% that were aware of farmer's markets were not aware of childhood obesity efforts. And I think that this is kind of intentional by the foundation to really focus in on, you know, specific activities and the importance of getting people to be physically active and to eat healthy, and less emphasis on the actual obesity issue. And I think that in time to come, they'll start to merge the two together to say, you know, this is a childhood obesity initiative, but we are truly supportive of increasing physical activity and healthy eating opportunities.
And we just want to close by thanking all of our amazing partners, and I want to give a special acknowledgement to the president of Missouri Foundation for Health, Bob Fees, and Amy Stringer Health, who is the director of this program. She's in the room. Thank you all.
Okay, I'd like to open the floor for any questions. Anyone have any questions?
I really like the program. I really like the program and the data and the platform. We always have trouble getting people to fill out stuff. And so what is the incentive to get people to fill out what is very detailed data?
Yeah. Well, two things, harassment and, no, just kidding. We do follow up with them on a monthly. If we haven't seen any entries, we'll make calls and say, hey, Jim, notice that you hadn't filled anything out. Well, they're the wellness coordinators that are... Well, it's their job to implement the program. The evaluation piece is kind of an additional ask, but we do work with them to, you know, really better understand the importance of the information and that they'll be able to use this to their benefit.
But that's also part of getting the right person in the world, you know, who has the respect of the school that they're working in and can encourage people and the kids to fill this out and to know what to do to get the information. So we've been very fortunate in the types of folks we have in place.
Okay, Axel, and then I'll get you.
I just have two things. The first is more of a comment for the foundation. There's a product called Health Teacher Who Go Noodle that we've used in our area, and we offered it to the school district, and most of them chose it. And it's really wonderful because it gives the teacher health and education and things tied to the standards they have to meet. It also has a component called Little Noodle that gets the kids up and moving for like 30 seconds. And they've reported a lot of decreases in behavioral problems. The interesting thing is that a lot of the kids came little hackers because they liked it so much they went home and figured out a way to break into the health teacher system because they wanted to do the health education activities at home. So now health teacher has made a component that you can do in your household as well because you can take home a code and get in. That's just something that we've found really valuable. We have the community collaborations, but that's something that's national. And then the second thing for your survey, the household community survey, did you have a list of just how households who had a child in it, or did you want anybody, whether they had children or not?
We went
to survey that we target households that just have children.
We wanted, so the schools are reporting using Go Noodle, and we have anecdotally heard that the kids are hacking in Missouri as well, doing the stuff at home, so that's really great. We chose, you know, working with the foundation, chose to do a random sample of all households, knowing that this is a community effort, wanting grandparents, neighbors, and others. But roughly 28% of the respondents did have a child, at least one, at home. And right. No. They had to have a household. They had to have an address because it was a mail survey. So they had to have an address.
Yeah, and just to your point about Go Noodle, I know that from talking to the wellness coordinators, that's been a brand break itself.
Do they do the health teacher component as well?
Some of them.
Yeah, I think some of them, but a lot of them have just really gone bonkers with the brand breaks.
More comment than a question, but I think it's brilliant that you tied in collecting the data with actually having to report back to their funder. And because sometimes when you just have to do reports back to the funder, I don't know, you can just make things up, right? They write a sentence or whatever, but this, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a very complex access file. Yeah, the wellness coordinators help us to administer the student surveys in the classroom, so we get a really great response rate from that. For the community survey, we sent out $5 bills to all 2,000 addresses, and God bless Missourians, they are so honest. When they couldn't fill out the survey, they sent the $5 back.
Yeah. Do we have any more questions, perhaps directed to the entire panel? Because you guys can see how everything kind of tied in and how they can basically work collaboratively on a lot of the work that's going on with nutrition and childhood obesity. Any questions? I'm pointing at you.
I know.
Do you have any questions? Everyone else is just nodding. It's good, it's good. Okay.
Do you have something cohesive in students where you have the school, the city, the academic community, they all come to the table?
You can see over the past, I would say probably 10 years, that the academic world is beginning to work more with the community and bringing them in. And you notice that's when you started seeing a lot of community gardens by cast. Pet playgrounds. We have a lot of those in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So, but you can begin to see that collaboration kind of coming together, and it's important. I think that's one of the ways that we're going to be able to help stamp out some of this childhood obesity, just to kind of get everybody moving, keep everybody moving, healthy eating. So, but I just want to let you guys know that the Public Health Education and Health Promotion section appreciates the wonderful work that these ladies are doing in the community, and we'd like to give them a round of applause again.